Some time ago, I was invited to the Campbell Street Church of Christ when Brother Ralph Gilmore was preaching there. Invited to do a series much like this. And I was standing out in the foyer, meeting and greeting people, shaking hands. All of a sudden, I heard my name over the PA system, and I just stepped in from the foyer into the auditorium. And folks, if you could believe this, all the front seats were taken. So I just stepped in about the third aisle row from the back, and there was an empty aisle seat there, and I sat down. And about the time that I just got comfortable, a sweet, elderly Christian sister came in and stopped where I was sitting and looked down at me and gave me one of those looks as if to say, "You're sitting in my seat." So I just scooted over, knowing that I was going to have to crawl over her. And Brother Gilmore started telling all those good people, every school that I've attended, every degree that I hold, and this sweet sister turned right and looked at me face to face and said, "Sounds like he's overeducated to me." And I just smiled. And Ralph continued. Now, folks, at this time, two things are going through my mind. Number one, this is really getting embarrassing. And number two, he's cutting into my time. But not to let things go, this sweet sister turned to me again. And she looked at me and she said, "Woo-wee, Ralph sure is making him sound good. Nobody's that good." And I just smiled. And about that time, Dr. Gilmore said, "Now I present to you Dr. Mike Craven." And I stood up. Folks, I wish you could have seen the look on that sweet sister's face. But seizing the moment, I bent down and took her hand in mine and squeezed it so lovingly and whispered in her ear, "Now it's time for me to show them what you and I already know." But you notice I don't sit in back anymore either. Very quickly, let me say thank you to the elders for inviting me to this special day. But more importantly, thank you for recognizing the importance of families, the need of families in this congregation and in this community. Thanks to my family, a number of friends that I have known who have traveled here to be at this special day, as well as to some of our Estes members, my Estes family, that has come to be supportive of this day. To the Henderson congregation, thank you. Thank you for your warm welcome, and thank you for all of your preparation this day. Some of you know this, many of you don't, but it was in the fall of 1972, in your old auditorium, on the very back row, once again an aisle seat, closest to the door, I sat and heard one of my first gospel sermons of my life. On that particular day, I'd asked a young lady to go to the movie theater downtown that was here at that time. And they always had a movie Sunday night. And she said, "I will go with you if you will go to church with me." Well, I reluctantly agreed to that deal, but quickly told her that I get to pick the seat. And you know where I picked the seat. The speaker that day was Willie Sharp. I still remember the sermon. I still remember his crazy examples. Who would have known that that particular day started changing my life? I later, within the school years, became a Christian, fell in love with Reed Hardeman, and set my sights on coming back. And it was only by the grace of God and good men like E. Claude Gardner, David Thomas, and Bill Naylor that literally has allowed me to have a dream come true. Who would have thought a few years later I'd be standing with this same congregation in a new auditorium and presenting some things to you that I have thought about and have prayed about in preparation to be with you. The family relationship is one topic in which the Bible is very clear and specific. There's a basic duty to provide for one's family. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he wrote, "But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." We read that in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible does not in any way sanction marriages of convenience. The foundation for a family is a strong love between a husband and wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 28. And there is a duty of parents to educate their children. Yes, including religious education. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And our children, oh, our children and our precious grandchildren, are to be reared in the training and the instruction of the Lord. That's echoed over and over again in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. But you know, this morning, I can tell you that Jesus, too, is concerned about family relationships and meeting human needs. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 19, to the demon-possessed man, Jesus said, "Go home. Go home to your family and tell them what the Lord has done for you." And in Luke 7, to the widow of Nain, Jesus said, "Don't cry." Yet Luke records that Jesus' heart went out to her at the death of her only son. Jesus was touched by what he saw. Jesus took time to be with her and to talk with her. We also have a record of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law and helping lepers rejoin their families and healing the sick and the blind. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament comes from the Gospel of John. John chapter 19, beginning at verse 25, we read, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And to the disciple he said, 'Behold your mother.' And from that time on, this disciple took her into his own home." When I read that passage in my mind's eye, I can see Jesus nailed to the cross in all of his pain and all of his agony, hanging between heaven and earth, and before he gave up the ghost, looked down to make sure that his mother was taken care of. Jesus met the needs of people. Jesus meets the needs of people today, of our families today. Even his own family, Jesus knew and cared to take care of. Yes, Jesus is concerned about our spiritual needs. But Jesus is also concerned about the physical, the mental, the emotional, and social needs of our family members as well. What better example? What better example do we have than the Lord himself when it comes to loving and serving those around us that we call family, that we hold so dear to us? Would you please listen to an article written by a 16-year-old young man that came out in a Dallas newspaper a number of years ago. The young man writes, "My headlights search the snow ahead of me. of all nights for this to happen. Dad away in Seattle on business and my brother Roger at college. Don't think about it. Just drive, I told myself as the wheels slid on the icy street. No wonder it had happened. The snowstorm had forced my mother's car off the road. Now she lay in a hospital unconscious and in critical condition. Neither Dad nor Roger knew. There was just me, my old car, and the snow. Tears beaded my cheeks. I pulled the glove from my left hand to wipe my eyes. These hands, which just a few hours before were squeezed so lovingly by my mother. That snow looks bad, Mom. I wish you weren't going out tonight. Oh, I do too. But some things just have to be done. She reached to squeeze my hand goodbye. Aw, come on, Mom. I'm too old for that, I declared. I'm not a little boy, and I don't want to play baby games anymore. It's just my way of telling you, son. It's our secret code. I know, I said, but I'm tired of our silly secret code. Always given with three squeezes. One, two, three. And always meaning, I love you. I mimicked in full-tone sarcasm. Never again, Mom. The words burned in my mind as I stared ahead. I could still see her hurt smile. Three squeezes always had been our love language. Because of the simple code, countless cuts and bruises had been healed. How often we had sat in church, hand-delivering our secret message. Or had walked through the park saying, I love you, in silent communication. During my 16-year lifetime, Mom and Dad have invested a trillion hours per year just in helping me. Ever since I could remember, there had always been thoughtful rewards. And lately, dollar bills for feeding my gas tank or feeding my date. But always delivered with our secret code that my hands had, only 2 hours ago, grown too large to return. What if she dies? Could anything be the same again? The lights of the hospital guided me through the white blackness. My car sputtered and died. With a shove, I freed the frozen door. Wind lashed at my face. The biting wind hurried me towards the institutional glass door. I stammered Mom's name to the receptionist who referred to her files. She seemed so slow, but finally turned and faced me. A nurse will be waiting on the third floor. I hope everything will be all right. The elevator doors closed, trapping me inside, and then grew open again. A young nurse took my arm. Please wait here. I'll get the doctor. I leaned my forehead against the window, peering sightlessly into the night. Snow whirled against the window pane. Are you her son? I turned to find the doctor costumed in surgical green. He led me down the hall and finally stopped and turned and said, Son, this is her room. Now remember, you mustn't expect her to respond. Your mother may not even recognize you. She's in a semi-conscious state and suffering considerable pain. I pushed the door open and stepped inside. Mom's eyes opened at an unnatural stare. I stepped across the room and reached out and laid my hand on hers. I knew what I had to do, and my message had to be clear. I squeezed. One, two, three. Only God knew how important it was at this moment that she understand. Mom's eyes flickered. She knew me. A tear ran down my face and dropped on my hand. Yes, the very hand that had grown too large for this baby game. My hand enfolded hers, and we passed our secret code again and again throughout the night. Thank you, I prayed in marvelous relief. Thank you for life and hands and secret codes. Well, I don't know how that story affects you, Maybe I do as I look around the auditorium. But I know it moves me every time I share it with an audience like you, because it reminds me in a powerful way of the importance of expressing love to family members. What happens when love is not expressed in the family? Well, a whole host of things can happen, like doubt. Doubt may creep into the heart of that mate or those children. Or worse yet, maybe a feeling of insecurity begins to weave its way into our relationship. And even worse, maybe a host of barriers arise that literally continue to distance us from one another. And because of that distance, then emptiness sets in. When love is not expressed, the closeness and the unity will most likely deteriorate. In our brotherhood, we sing a song that says, "Love is the golden chain that binds." And I think many of us in this audience today believe that to be true. And when important links are missing from the chain, family members begin to drift apart. In reference to another issue, our Lord once asked a question in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. "What man of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone?" What happens when love is not expressed in the family? You have family members longing for bread, starving for attention and affection, but having to settle for stones. You find families who are emotionally and mentally malnourished. Well then, how do we do it? How do we express love to our family? I would like to suggest two very simple and yet I believe very powerful ways in expressing love to our family members. First, love must be expressed with words. In John chapter 21 and verse 15, Jesus asked Peter a question three times, seeking the expression of love with words. Again, I can just imagine this in my own mind's eye. Jesus trying to teach Peter a lesson. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" "Oh, Peter, please think about what I'm asking you. We know how impulsive you are. Peter, do you love me? You really need to ponder in your heart the seriousness of this question, and you need to really answer, Peter, do you love me?" Love must be expressed with words. Jesus knew that. Love must be verbalized. Your parents, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your grandparents should not have to read your mind. They should know that you love them because you tell them daily that you love them. A little over 16 years ago, I, along with my father and my brother, my wife and our three children, my brother's wife and his two children, sat all Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the hospital bedside of my mother who was dying. My mother meant the world to me. A simple stay-at-home mom, no big title, no high power degree, just a mom that made holidays so special, that taught me to think of other people before myself. A woman who taught me and my brother how to love, how to appreciate what others did for us, no matter how small or how big, but always to say thank you. How to accept people no matter what side of the tracks they come from, no matter what color their skin, just to accept people. Why? Because they're people who need to be loved. A woman who taught me to believe in myself and would say, "Michael, if you will take the talents that the Lord has given you and put those to use. You can do anything that you desire. I was there, and my family was there. We were all there to remind her of two things. One, that the Lord was in charge, and He was now guiding her down the path that she was traveling. Second, we were there to tell her over and over again how much we loved her, the great part that she played in our lives, and how much we loved her, and will always love her. I don't know how she did it, except by the strength that God gave her until she finally fell into that last few hours, would always answer back, "I love you too." See, this morning I'm telling you that no other words are as important. No other words comforted or meant as much as "I love you." This morning I'm not talking to you as a marriage and family teacher from Reed Hardeman or a counselor from the great state of Tennessee. I'm just talking to you as a family member. It's important for husbands and wives to tell each other throughout the day, "I really love you." It's important to be affirmed and assured and reminded of that fact. It's important for children to hear mom and dad and grandpa and grandma expressing their affection and love to each other. Several studies that we have available to us emphasize this very important fact, the importance of expressing these emotions and showing our love to those that we call family. I believe Roy and I have two of the best jobs in the world. We love what we do. We love being at Reed Hardeman. We love teaching our discipline. We love being with those college students. We love traveling together. We love talking about family. But you know, some students are going to come to Reed Hardeman, and because they're a transfer student or because of their major, because of their other activities or the other things that they're doing, they're not going to be able to take a marriage and family class. And the only marriage and family class they're going to have is the one that they're bringing with them from home. And this morning I ask you, as a congregation, as families within this congregation, what kind of example are you setting before our young people? Are you showing them the right kind of marriage? Are you selling them on the right kind of family life? Likewise, it's important to tell your children and your grandchildren that you love them, not because of what they do, not because of what they accomplish or how athletic they are, not because they behave well or because they're good-looking or intelligent like you, that you love them because they're yours. "I will always love you," and you can take that to the bank. Oh, yes. They may go places. They may befriend individuals that make us lie awake at night in prayer. But they're still our children. And they need to know that we love them no matter what. They need to hear that. And because we brought them into the world, I believe they deserve to hear that. Secondly, and much quicker, love must be expressed through actions. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're told about love in terms of what love does, the action part of love. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will show me by your actions that you love me." How do you express love through actions? By touching, by holding hands, by hugging. Do you remember those bumper stickers that were on the back of law enforcement cars all across this country years ago that read, "Have you hugged your kid today?" Where are those bumper stickers today? by remembering special days. Now, I know my time is short. I think the Lord will understand. I just hope you do. I have a question for you. For all of us in this auditorium this morning, those of us who have a birthday in the month of December, would you put your hand up? Those of us who have a birthday in the month of December, would you put your hand up? I would like for the rest of you to look around at the hands that are up. We know something about life, but the rest of you don't have a clue. It's called the Happy Birthday, Merry Christmas Syndrome. I was born on December the 21st. And when the whole world is thinking about Christmas, it turned my birthday. And I'm so glad that I had a mom and a dad that turned off that Christmas music, turned off that Christmas tree, removed the poinsettias and brought out the happy birthday cloth and the balloons and the birthday cake and made my day special. And I'm here to tell you in 50 plus none of your business years, I have never received a birthday present wrapped in Christmas paper while my folks were alive. And you say, well, Mike, you're a grown man. You ought to be able to handle that. But you see, I'm not talking as a grown man. I'm talking as a 5 and a 6 and a 7-year-old boy who, in December, it turned my birthday. How do we show our love through actions? By remembering those special days, those birthdays and those anniversaries and those graduations and those retirements, and the list just goes on and on. By the notes that we send, by the emails that we send, the text messages that we text out, by serving one another. How about this one? By fulfilling our responsibilities, by cooperating, by giving in once in a while, by playing together, by praying together, by working together, by listening, by apologizing, by forgiving. And the list just goes on and on like that little silly pink Energizer bunny. You express your love by the things that you do for your family, the extra mile things that you do. Perhaps one of the clearest ways to express your love is just to give yourself and your time. After almost 37 years in this business, I'm convinced that our families need more important things than the biggest house in the nicest neighborhood, with the most expensive cell phones, computers, cars, and toys on the block. Children don't need dolls that break, bicycles that rust, and pets that die nearly as much as they need me and you. This morning I ask you to show them that they're important by spending time with them. Don't give them substitutes like money or promises. Oh, we'll get together later. Give them yourself right now. Show your family that you love them through your words as well as your actions. I think you'll be glad if you did. I promise you, your family will be glad you did. My intention this morning was not to step on toes or to make anyone feel sad, ashamed, or guilty. Believe it or not, my sincere desire, and I think the elders of this congregation as well, was just to have a day to help us understand the importance of our family, of thinking about our family and expressing love to our family. And secondly, to remind all of us to be the family members that God needs and wants us to be. Even though this has not been your typical gospel sermon, I think you would have to agree that Jesus has been preached this morning. And as we come to the end of our lesson, if you if your marriage, if your family needs to come to Jesus, or if you need to return to Jesus, we give you this opportunity as we stand and sing our invitation songs.